ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, we have three very serious problems in this country. Look, we have the sequestra. We have rampant gun violence in our cities and in our streets. And most importantly of all, live from John's Kitchen, we have the Hour Guy!
That's a saxophone.
I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Hourcive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
Do we have to start off by saying we got a great show here tonight?
Yeah, we got a great show.
Smokey is here tonight.
Smokey's here. Smokey. Woo-hoo!
And all right, we'll be right back.
Oh, we didn't do a monologue.
No, we didn't. You want to do that?
No.
Good.
I haven't watched Saturday Night Live. I haven't watched Saturday Night Live, like a full episode, in, I don't know, 10 years.
Maybe. Wow. Really?
What is it now?
Never.
2013?
Yeah.
Probably not in like 10 years. At least.
Wow. What do you have to say for yourself? Explain yourself.
I lost interest in Saturday Night Live in the 2000s, early 2000s.
As did we all.
Here's the other thing. I'm trying to think. I think maybe the last time I watched a full episode of Saturday Night Live would have been in the late 90s. You know, and even then, it's hard to, I mean, I would claim it's hard to watch a full episode of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I agree.
It's long.
It is. It's a long show, and there's a lot of commercial breaks.
What is it, like?
It's an hour and a half.
Hour and a
basically.
Half.
Basically, yeah.
And they, you know, if the musical guest is not someone I like, then it's usually someone I don't really care to hear at all.
And that can be a killer too. Like, I bet if you like watch their ratings, I bet they lose like a huge chunk
when
at that first musical
guest.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it seem like I don't watch full episodes of Saturday Night Live because I dislike the show or anything like
that. Right.
I don't think I've ever had the attention span for it.
Right.
And at the time at which I had the most attention span would have been in the 90s when.
Okay. I actually watched a full episode.
Yeah.
Not all that long ago.
All right.
Ironically, while I was in New York, watched it live. It was weird. I kept thinking about that. I kept I'm in the
They're
city.
They're doing this now.
I am
like,
you know, blocks away or whatever, and I'm watching this show, and
they're
it's live.
Doing it right now.
It blew my mind.
Huh. What? How long ago was this?
This was last fall, so 5 or 6 months.
So very recent, really.
Super recent.
Huh.
Very strange. And that was probably the first time I'd watched a full episode. Maybe not in 10 years. It's been a while, but...
What did you think?
The first response that comes to mind is that it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Oh, okay, good.
You know, I don't think I'm alone in this. I don't think we're alone in this, because I think you're of the same opinion as I am when I say that the last decade or so of Saturday Night Live has been largely disappointing.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Or maybe not disappointing, but the quality, the perception of the quality has been very low.
It's funny, I was reading up about the history of Saturday Night Live. And, you know, I think if you charted this show, like its peaks and its troughs, I think it would have more troughs.
Yeah.
Like, I think taken as a whole, Saturday Night Live is not very good. but what it allows for are really great moments. I think when it's when it is good, it's really good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And part of that is due to the constantly, you know, the constant shift in the roster and the skit format, you know, like people really remember like the really good skits. And if the, you know, if you look at the show on its own altogether, not that great, but you know, interspersed amongst that, you have some pretty incredible moments.
Right.
Now, I have a sort of theory about. I have a few theories about Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
And I'll talk about this one because it sort of pertains to what I was just talking about. This is my first theory.
Okay.
Theory
number one.
Theory number one.
001.
Yeah. Figure A. I think that, or I wonder if the talent of any given Saturday Night Live cast skips a generation.
Okay.
So here's my thinking.
Okay.
And I haven't done the math. I have no idea if this tracks. It might. It probably doesn't. You've got the first cast, right?
Right. They're not ready for primetime players. Right.
Seasons one and one, two, like the first three to five years.
Yeah, I would maybe even say lower than that, more like two maybe, because I think they lost a lot of people right after those first two. Well, Andy Kaufman was gone right away, wasn't he? And
he wasn't. He was not a what they call
a regular.
Yeah, regular, but they have another term for it. Repertory.
Oh, okay.
He was, you know, a comedian
was like
that was featured.
With.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think he may not have even been with.
Huh.
He may, because, and here's the interesting thing about Saturday Night Live. If you watch like the first episode, it's this bears very little resemblance to what it is now.
What it became. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have thoughts on that as well.
All right.
But
theory number 1.5.
Theory 001. So, you know, the first cast is generally revered, right? And it's made up of really what are considered legendary comedians.
Yeah.
So Chevy Chase, Gilda Radner, right?
Yeah. Was she on the original cast?
John Belushi. I think she was, yeah.
I know she was early, but I didn't know she was
Lorraine
early.
Newman, I think,
Lorraine
was
Newman,
in there.
She was early, yeah.
Not as legendary, but she's, you
Jane
know.
Jane Curtin, was she on that first
no,
one?
No, Jane Curtin would have been later, I think.
Okay.
Why don't I look at that cast so we get this right?
Look that cast up, because somebody's going to be like, you know, you could have looked up the
cast.
Yeah,
don't you have an internet?
Yeah.
All right. Original cast, Lorraine Newman, John Belushi. Oh, you're right, Jane Curtin. Gilda Radner, Dan Aykroyd, Garrett Morris, and Chevy Chase. For some reason, I thought Aykroyd came in the second season.
Later, yeah, I kind
of I'm probably
that
thinking
too,
of
actually.
Bill Murray. Murray came in when Chevy Chase, around the time Chevy Chase left, which was like the second season. Those are all names that are generally,
yeah, for the most part,
thought these are like really big deals in comedy, right? And those first few years, you know, are some of the best. It is some of the best stuff that Saturday Night Live did, and some of the most remembered.
Mm-hmm. I have a counter theory, but I mean not a counter theory, but I say this goes into something broader. But I think, yeah, they're remembered by us,
sure,
because we either saw them in reruns or in like
specials,
best of, right?
Yeah, totally.
But I believe that a lot of those have and will continue to fade from best of prominence.
Okay.
I think like one, because as as they package those best of moments, you know, every 5 years or whatever, they do like an anniversary show. Sure. And they're like, this is the best of the last 35 years.
Yeah.
And they have the same amount of time to use, and they have to do more recent stuff along with the old stuff. So more and more of those older clips are being sort of excised.
I
don't think people are finding those as much as they used to.
Well, what we should do is find some of those specials, because I'd be interested to see the breakdown of who's featured.
Yeah, yeah.
Because and this is another thing, they eventually Saturday Night Live just started doing best of Chris Farley, what have you. And so that further kind of muddies the waters, right? but anyway, that first cast,
highly regarded,
right. And I think justifiably in a lot of ways. The second cast,
who was that?
Basically, you know, like and it was, it did really poorly. The second, like, essentially once the main people were gone and you had. Right. The next cast, it was just like...
Was that the Piscopo roster?
No, Piscopo hadn't joined yet, don't think. But
I associate him with the worst era.
I know. It's just incredible that he was on that show. And there's a really great moment in one of the specials. It was like the 15-year anniversary or something. Mm-hmm. And they had Joe Piscopo, like, talking to someone. This is, like, for the special, they got a bunch of the cast members,
you know,
old and nude, back together. And Joe Piscopo is wearing a tuxedo, but the sleeves are cut off, so his muscles are showing. And it's weird, because Joe Piscopo got really into, like, you know...
Bodybuilding.
So it was just, like... I was like, this guy was on Saturday Night Live? I can't say that, the name.
SNL.
I'm trying to find, here we go, cast members. So, cast timeline. Okay, so the next cast following after the main cast that we all kind of know is the first one. Here are the names. You ready?
I'm ready. Shoot them.
We got Don Novello. Novello. No?
No. Nope.
Harry Shearer.
Nope.
No?
No. I would probably recognize him if you were like, that's Harry Shearer. But
Harry Shearer, most famous now for The Simpsons, does tons of voices.
Okay.
Does like Mr. Burns. And
okay. I still can't connect a face.
He also is in the movies like Spinal Tap. He's in all the Christopher Guest movies, basically.
Okay.
So he plays the drummer in Spinal Tap. I think, or maybe he's the bassist, because the drummer always dies in Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
But he's in all those movies.
Okay.
Still,
I would argue, not as big of a household name as any of those people from the first, or no, most of those people from
maybe
the first
not,
cast.
But he's up there.
Okay.
Paul Schaefer.
Okay, yeah.
I'm assuming that's the Paul Schaefer.
Paul Schaefer. Yeah.
Alan's...
Not Paul Schrader, because that'd be even more interesting.
Alan Zweibel.
Yep, sure. Nope.
Peter Aykroyd.
No. No. Louis Stallone. Gary Estevez.
Jim Downey.
No.
Brian Doyle Murray.
No.
He's a brother to Bill Murray.
Okay.
And he's in nearly all of Bill Murray's movies.
Oh, he's the older grizzled Murray.
I think he's the youngest brother.
But he looks old.
He looks old, yeah.
Okay.
He always plays like mayors and
okay, yeah.
And,
I only know who he is because you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tom Schiller.
No.
Okay.
I don't know any of those people.
No. The next cast after that would be, and I'll read these faster, Patrick Weathers.
No.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Okay.
And
he was on Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
Wow.
So the one I just said, they were had a very brief tenure, as does this next group.
I'm amazed that the show survived after that.
So Gilbert Gottfried, Ann Risley, Charles Rocket, Danny Dillon, Gail Matthias, and now we've got two that you'll recognize, Eddie Murphy,
okay,
Joe Piscopo.
You take the good with the bad, I guess.
So basically, what I'm looking at is a timeline on Wikipedia, and you don't recognize, I don't recognize another name until I get to Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
She was on Saturday Night Live, too?
Yeah, yeah. She was in a weird era. along with Jim Belushi, Billy Crystal.
Wait a minute. Jim Belushi was on there, too?
Yes, he was.
This is a revelatory
show. Am I blowing your mind?
Show.
Why yeah, can't I are. See all of this image? So here's my theory, which I have yet to actually say. So you've got these casts, right? Casts that everyone remembers and casts that no one remembers.
Right.
That's an assumption we're making, okay. Right? So my thought is, take the cast of the early to mid-90s.
Okay.
Phil Hartman, Dana Carvey, Jan Hooks.
Chris Rock?
Chris Rock. Yeah, so, you know.
David Spade.
Mike Myers, Chris Farley, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if these guys grew up watching
the really good
the first
ones.
Cast, right?
Okay. Okay, I see this.
So maybe they're like, they're drawing influence there, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so their season's great,
mm-hmm.
or not great, but they're better, right?
Right. Right.
And then, so my thinking is, okay, so the people currently on Saturday Night Live would have grown up watching that cast, right?
The cast with David Spade and all of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Essentially, people around our age.
Okay.
Would maybe a little bit younger.
Right, right.
That should be on.
Okay, I see. Saturday yeah, Live. The timeline syncs up with.
So, right. You know, are they really good? I don't know. I don't watch Saturday Night Live.
That was going to be my crack in your theory.
and maybe that's where it breaks down, but I wonder about that. It, you know, can the generation directly following the good people, can they not succeed?
Well, I think I'm not going to totally argue against your theory, but I think it's more of a phenomenon of chance than actual design. You know, I think it's more like the every other Star Trek theory.
It's a shaky theory.
Yeah, like, well, and it breaks down. I think it definitely worked for those first few seasons.
Sure. But then things.
But
just...
then it be well, and the reason I say that is because it's not. It's not like all of the other seasons post Phil Hartman era.
Yeah.
Even in their lowest points, there were still some really strong cast members
absolutely,
on it.
And absolutely.
I'm thinking those first two or the second and third casts, I can't really think of anybody until you get to Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, that are like,
that's really great. Yeah. So
I think that and here maybe this will bring us to theory number two.
Okay.
So initially, when Saturday Night Live started, Lorne Michaels, a couple of producers at NBC came to Lorne Michaels, and at the time when they were in that time slot on Saturday night, what they had been running were these Johnny Carson best of specials,
mm-hmm.
and Carson was like, "Look, I'd rather you ran those on the weekday, because then I could have days off. You know, you could run that.
Oh, right.
I could take a day off, mm-hmm. right." So they need.
So we have Johnny Carson to thank for Saturday Night Live. I like that.
Yeah. So they needed
Johnny Carson's laziness. Yeah.
So they needed to fill the time slot, right? Uh-huh. So they went to Lorne Michaels to come up with a show for it, and you know what he came up with was Saturday Night Live, and the first what was so great I think about Saturday Night Live was that he took. You know, and they say it in the promos, the bunch of people who weren't ready for mm-hmm. prime time, right?
Right.
Basically, a bunch of unknowns, people that were just really funny, and he put them in a show together. And he also, you know, the idea was also to feature musical artists.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, like, well-known musical artists, but also unknowns, you know, mm-hmm. the same way that the comedy troupe was. And so those first seasons are you know, cutting edge, innovative,
reckless.
Like television comedy, right? Yeah, and exactly, reckless. Like they're doing things that in America hadn't been done on television,
right.
you know?
Right.
and I think over time, you know, initially Saturday Night Live was a place for like comedy. You'd never seen anything like it, mm-hmm. you know? And I think now Saturday Night Live has become the, and I don't mean this in an insulting way, but just like the most common comedic tropes, some of the most predictable things are happening, you know, like the, mm-hmm. the it is not a place to me that fosters interesting or exciting or edgy or, you know, good comedy. And there are definitely people in Saturday Night Live who do that, mm-hmm. who can do that. But I don't think Saturday Night Live, the show, fosters it anymore.
Okay.
And so I think that maybe you can't have a great cast in the way that you could when the show was more, to me, more focused. And I don't know if this was, I don't know that this is a purposeful thing on anyone's part mm-hmm. involved in that show. But to me, it just seems like they're the culture and the mission of the show is no longer to be
to play off
at the
strengths
forefront.
Or yeah.
And so prime example, here's a prime example. And this is based on the episode that played most recently.
Okay.
Being Saturday, the
March 9th. Yeah.
So Justin Timberlake was the host uh-huh. and that guy's really funny.
Yeah.
I really like him. Especially when he's doing comedy. So he did this skit with the guy you like.
Horatio?
Moynihan.
I have no idea who he
That's
is.
That's his name. It's
I
Moynihan.
Just like him.
and the skit was Moynihan's like a meat shop owner, and he's standing outside his shop, and he's basically hawking, you know, his
meats.
Goods. Right. And he's this outlandish Italian guy like, hey, come and get your sausage, you know. Just total stereotype. Mm-hmm. So already boring, right, in my opinion. But then Justin Timberlake walks on and he's dressed as a block of tofu and he starts singing little jingles for a vegan shop that's like across the street. And so, you know, the tension, the conflict is vegan
hey,
versus meat.
Get
right?
away from my meat shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he's not even like that. He's just like, he's confused. The meat shop guy is just like, what's going on here? I sell meat.
He only know? Understands meat.
Right.
Yeah.
And the skit is pretty good in terms of Timberlake doing his thing. And he's basically, the jingles are all popular songs that are rewritten uh-huh. to have vegan lyrics. Right. And they're pretty good. But where it all breaks down, in my opinion, is at the very end of the skit, they do the Harlem Shake stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
And I don't necessarily... Okay, there's a separate issue here where I am sick of the Harlem Shake.
Sure.
And I'm not saying... Like, the Harlem Shake is funny. I thought it was funny the first time I saw it.
Right.
But I've seen it a lot now.
Yeah.
And I'm done with it. But the issue is not that that isn't funny. The issue is that Saturday Night Live is co-opting comedy from the internet.
Yeah.
That they're not original. They're looking at what's funny elsewhere and repeating it for a mainstream audience.
Or in some cases, looking at themselves.
Yeah.
Their own history or their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. And playing
Which
off of
that. Which
was
also in evidence
right.
in that episode.
Yeah. But I think it's also even beyond individual skits. I think it's more in like the MO of Saturday Night Live now. You know, there's always the presidential skits.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's a staple. The news, obviously, but that's always
weekend
been,
update,
right? Yeah. But and the these things have become tropes. Initially, there was still that. Like what you're saying in those early years, like when they did things, like when they would do a talk show skit, it was like, what is this? You know, they're a fake talk show. No one's ever done that before.
Right.
Now there've been hundreds probably of fake talk show skits on Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
And it's very, and this is, you know, a challenge I think for any comedy show, anything is to be original, and very little of what I see in the clips from Saturday Night Live that I watch is original stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's still, I think, really good performances in there, but not, you know, nothing surprising.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm going to take you to task on that.
All right.
Just a little bit here.
Do it.
And that is, I think there's one area in which they have excelled in that surprise, and that is with their short films, the mm-hmm. short pieces that are not performed live, but mm-hmm. are inserted into the show,
yeah.
into the broadcast.
Lazy Sunday, wake up in the late afternoon. Call Parnell just to see how he's doing.
Hello,
what up, Parnell?
Yo, Sandberg, what's cracking?
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Party up!
Man, it's happening.
Reverse my hunger pains, I stick it like duct tape.
Just hit up Magnolia and Mac on some cupcakes.
No doubt that bakery's got all the Bob Frosty.
I love those cupcakes like McAdams loves Gosling.
Gosling,
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 Gosling.
2,
no 6,
no 12,
Baker's dozen. I told you that I'm crazy for these cupcakes, cousin.
Yo, where's the movie playing?
Upper West Side, dude.
Well, let's hit up Yahoo Maps to find the dopest route.
I prefer MapQuest.
That's a good one, too.
Google Maps is the best.
True that.
Double true. 68th and Broadway.
Step on it, sucker.
What you wanna do, Chris?
Sack attack, mother. The Chronic, what calls of Narnia?
Yes, the Chronic, what calls of Narnia?
We love that Chronic, what calls of Narnia?
And those tend to be a little... They tend to go in different directions than what we're used to from Saturday Night Live.
Have they not been doing that since at least the early 2000s?
Yes.
So yes. My counter
well, okay.
to your counter.
But I say that meaning
my
like modern era, meaning post 2000.
Point, counterpoint, all right, Saturday Night
right.
Live. That was a skit.
That was a skit.
Dan Aykroyd
right.
and
yeah.
Jane Curtin.
Uh-huh.
And the
Jane, you ignorant slut.
Maybe one of the most.
That's a great
his rant. Oh, yeah. Aykroyd was so good at
yeah.
that. Like, I don't know. We'll come back yeah. to that. But anyway, if they've been doing it for 10 years, how can it be original?
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, I think the
I was,
content.
When I was
the
speaking
content,
with like today, meaning the last 10 or 15 years.
Okay. Fair enough.
But yeah,
yes,
I see your point.
I will agree with you. That is where some of the best stuff that they've been doing has occurred
mm-hmm.
is within those little shorts.
Yeah.
The, what do they call them? Like digital? Don't they actually call it like
I think
digital
they're just
something?
Called digital shorts. Yeah.
Yeah. Why do they call them digital shorts?
Because I think in most cases they're developed specifically for online.
But they show it on the show.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe they debut online and then they get added into the show later
yeah,
if they're really good, you know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Does SNL even have a website? Does anybody go there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're NBC, right?
Right.
And everything's through Hulu on NBC.
Okay.
Isn't it?
I think so.
I don't know if they have a website. They probably have a section on NBC.com.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's probably right.
That's most likely what's there.
Sitting here in front of a computer and I'm saying, yeah, that makes sense. Sure. I guess we'll just have to assume.
So anyway, theory number two is that Saturday Night Live no longer fosters innovation in comedy.
Okay. Could that be? And
I'm
maybe
that's not a theory; it's just an opinion.
I'm not going to disagree with that. I think you're right.
Oh wow!
I think you're right.
All right.
But one factor that we haven't discussed in this is
yeah.
the writing.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard to really judge where those eras begin and end because
yeah.
I have such a nebulous idea of
the
when the writing changed.
Well,
yeah.
And what's you know the other sort of mysterious thing about Saturday Night Live is the division, and I don't mean like division in that they don't like each other, but the distinction maybe is the word I'm looking for.
Uh-huh.
The distinction between the cast and the writers.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
cast members are writers.
Uh-huh.
Some, but many writers are not cast members. And you have a lot of writers that went on to do other shows.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Odenkirk was a writer for Saturday Night Live.
Was he?
He created the character that Chris Farley... you know, got a lot of attention for the Matt Foley,
uh-huh. the motivational speaker,
Van Down by the River. So that's mm-hmm. a Bob Odenkirk character they came up with
huh.
that he wrote, you know, and Farley did it. And,
which is interesting because you can sort of see
Bob
parallels,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And
you
Saul
can totally
in...
see, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You could see Bob Odenkirk doing that.
Yeah.
And he went on to do Mr. Show with Bob and David for HBO. Yeah. And you've got, I feel so bad because I almost said Liz Lemon. You've got Tina Fey, who started as a writer, who I think as early as the 90s, the early to mid 90s.
Oh, wow.
Was writing for Saturday Night Live and eventually became a cast member as well.
Interesting.
And she's been hugely successful.
Sure.
Since, you know, sort of becoming part of the limelight.
You know, it's weird. Like, I don't even remember her on Saturday Night Live anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. She's so defined herself post SNL that I don't even remember her as an actor on this show.
It's really interesting to see her before she was even a cast member. Because sometimes the writers will do bits, small parts in the show. And there was a few, you know, in those shows when she was just writing where she appears. Like, she'll be a member of the audience that asks a question of the host, right? You know, it's like, she looks totally different, for one, just because, you know, it was 20 years ago or so. But you're also like, whoa, she's on the show? What's she doing? Why isn't she in front of the camera? I'm trying to think. Oh, Conan O'Brien, he wrote for Saturday Night Live for
a while.
Did
he also write for The Simpsons?
Yeah. I think there may be a lot of crossover there, too.
Interesting.
As far as Simpsons and Saturday Night Live.
Joss Whedon wrote for The Simpsons, but did not write for Saturday Night Live, correct?
What?
Didn't Joss Whedon write for The Simpsons?
What?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He wrote for The Simpsons.
I'm almost...
This show isn't about The Simpsons.
I'm 98% positive.
I believe you.
Actually, right. I should say I'm more like 2% positive.
I believe you. I'm going to take that as fact. Let's say it. All right, I got a list here of Saturday Night Live writers. So Tina Fey, Seth Meyers.
Okay.
Who does
is on
Weekend
the
Update.
Weekend Update now.
And that's all he does, I think, right?
Yeah.
As far as in front of the camera.
And maybe that's what Tina Fey did, too. She was a host.
But she also did skits.
Okay.
I don't think, maybe fewer skits than, you know, others.
The bulk of the cast.
Jorma Taccone?
No.
So the only reason I mention him is because he is, he's like a buddy of, what's his name? Andy Samberg.
Okay.
And I think he might be involved in the Lonely Island group. Which is Andy Samberg's
his
band
production
or whatever
thing,
and he's been in a few of those movies. Al Franken, he's
senator of or governor of something of
senator,
Minnesota
senator. But he did a lot of writing, and eventually would be
eventually
in front of the camera here and there. Jack Handy,
that's actually a real person.
Apparently,
wow.
My favorite Jack Handy quote. This is my favorite one ever.
All right.
Is, can I remember
this is
it?
Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy.
Let me find it so I get it right. Do you have a favorite?
I do.
What
well,
is
it's
it?
The only one that immediately comes to mind, and it's, sometimes when my daughter asks to go to Disneyland, I take her out and show her a burned down barn, and I say, oh no, Disneyland burned down.
It's so incredible. Here, I think I found it. I just want to make sure I get this right because I love it. All right, so Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy. Whether they find life there or not, I think Jupiter should be considered an enemy planet. That's so good.
And that's it.
That's it. Oh, I love it.
That was like a precursor to Twitter when you think about it. Those deep thoughts.
Do you think he's doing Twitter?
Oh God, he's got to be.
We got to find Jack.
We
got to
find Jack Handy.
Oh man,
at Jack Handy.
Yeah, is he there? let's see if I can recognize anybody else. Oh, Robert Smigel.
Who?
So he would. He was. He did a lot of the cartoons.
Okay.
And then he was in front of the camera every once in a while. Whoa, Dave Attell.
Who's that?
He's a stand-up comedian, probably most well-known for his show Insomniac on Comedy Central. Hmm. Sarah Silverman.
Ah.
And she was also featured. She was a featuring Sarah Silverman.
I don't remember any of those skits.
Laura Keitlinger.
What else has she done?
She's a comedian.
A lot of comedians on this show.
So, like, it's interesting because the cast or the writers are, there's a ton of just writers for each season. Like, there's way more writers than cast members. But
which is probably good.
Stephen Colbert, he wrote for it in 96 and 97. At least.
Huh.
He might be in there longer. So I feel like there's this, you know, I don't blame anyone, but most people attribute the comedy to the cast.
Yeah.
You know, because that's who you see. But there's this huge group of writers, you know.
Yeah.
That are doing, which is kind of shown, you know, to a certain degree in the show 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, really closely tied to Saturday Night Live, not only in its cast members and its
setting,
but also in the fact that, you know, Tina Fey's experiences in Saturday Night Live are what she drew upon for 30 Rock.
To form that show, yeah.
You know, because 30 Rock is about a variety show.
Yeah.
The girly show.
Team of weirdo writers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know where I was going with the writer thing anymore.
Well, I think I sort of threw that out there and just said that that's an X factor that we don't.
Yeah,
it's hard to say where those divisions.
Right, because the cast don't always line up with the writers.
Right.
It's not as though you get rid of a group of cast members and you get rid of the writers too
at the same time. Yeah.
I think the writers tend to have a longer tenure,
probably
because, you know, the cast members, once they get successful, a lot of times they'll leave the show and start doing movies or show, you know, their own show or what have you.
Right. But nobody wants writers.
Right.
So exactly. They get to stay there for a while. We should talk about the movies.
Yeah. The movies from the show.
I mean, I think there's two categories there.
Yeah.
You have movies that are literally adapted from Saturday Night Live skits, things that started on Saturday Night Live and then become movies.
Okay.
And then you have that other category, which is movies that feel like they are maybe based on or informed by Saturday Night Live type skits or concepts, and often feature Saturday Night Live cast members.
Okay.
Yeah. So in that first category, was Wayne's World the first one that became a movie?
No, I don't think so. Was it?
I don't know. I can't
I feel
of anything
like something before Wayne's World must have happened.
I remember they all sort of started cropping up at that same time, like early 90s.
Was there nothing like...
I mean, they didn't do a...
When did they do Coneheads?
They didn't do a Church Lady movie or... Did they do a Church Lady movie? No, they didn't.
Did they?
No, I don't
Are
think
you sure?
So. I'm not 2% positive on that.
When was the... when did Coneheads come out?
That was like 93.
That would have been after Wayne's World,
That was
right?
after Wayne's World. First Wayne's World, I want to say, was like 89 or 90.
Let's find out.
Okay.
I feel like the Wayne's World movie must have been later.
I don't know. Because I think it was so successful, and then that's what made them start doing all the other ones.
Wayne's World 2 referenced Jurassic Park.
Yes.
So we know Wayne's World 2
was like 95
later. Okay, so there is an earlier one than Wayne's World, and that is the Blues Brothers.
Hmm.
Which were characters that were conceived of and first seen on Saturday Night Live.
I did not know that.
Oh, you didn't?
No. I thought that was just a stand-up routine that they did.
No. That was, they performed on Saturday Night Live as the Blues Brothers.
Okay.
And then, you know, I don't know that it was a skit, you know, like, here's the Blues Brothers, and it's a funny skit. I think it was more of, you know, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd both loved playing music. And they had these characters, and they got to perform as the Blues Brothers on Saturday Night Live. So that, I would argue that's the first.
Okay, that makes sense.
Here's what else we have. you've got, let's see when Wayne's World was. Let's see what year. Wayne's World came out in 92.
Oh, that's later than I thought.
You have It's Pat. Remember that one?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That came out in 94. Oh, my God, the poster for this is awful. You need to look up. If you're on the internet right now, look up, go to Wikipedia and just look at the It's Pat movie poster because it's pretty incredible. They did a Mr. Bill movie. I guess you could kind of call it. Well, I wonder if this is just a collection of shorts.
Bad.
That was in 86. A Night at the Roxbury.
Oh, sure.
You've got Stuart Saves His Family. So that was the Al Franken character, Stuart Smalley.
Oh, I forgot that was Al Franken.
Yeah. Superstar. That's the Molly Shannon character.
I mean, I don't remember any of the skits. I never saw the movie.
Well, they were all kind of the same
thing about that character
over and over. Which, you know, to a certain degree, all those.
Yeah, yeah.
Recurring skits, you know, are just variations on one idea. Yeah.
God, why didn't they ever do a Celebrity Jeopardy movie? I would have watched that. 90 minutes of that. I would have watched that.
Coneheads, which we mentioned.
Right.
I think the most recent would be, let me make sure. I think it'd be MacGruber.
Oh, was that a Saturday Night Live skit?
Yeah. Which came out in 2010.
Wow.
You know, those movies, Wayne's World is probably the only one that was worth investigating as a movie.
I think that's the only one that really transcends
Blues Brothers,
the concept.
But
Blues Brothers.
Because, I mean, they never investigated the characters on the show.
Right. They were literally starting from scratch almost. Yeah.
But Wayne's World definitely would be, I think, the most successful.
Yeah.
And worthy of, like, you were like, okay, that made sense. Like,
yeah.
That was good as a movie.
Yeah.
But things like Night at the Roxbury or...
Man, it's amazing that they...
Or, what were the other ones I listed?
The Ladies' Man.
I never saw
actually,
that
the Ladies' Man, I could kind of see that. I can understand the gist of that.
Well,
Superstar,
so
I think, is crazy.
Here's the interesting thing. So Ladies' Man and Wayne's World on the show were talk shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movies went beyond the talk show.
Right.
Right? So there was something more to do with those characters because you could take them and put them in, you know,
put them in
quote,
settings
unquote,
or...
real-world situations,
yeah.
Right, and see what happened. I never really liked the Ladies' Man character.
Yeah.
And so I didn't see the movie. Okay. So I can't say whether that was good or not.
I don't either. I can't either. I won't.
But I
saw
Night at the Roxbury.
You saw Night at the Roxbury? What the hell for?
I saw it.
Did you see any of these other ones? Did you see Coneheads?
Yeah.
You saw... What?
Yeah, Coneheads isn't that bad.
I haven't seen it, so I can't say.
It's
but
not terrible.
I'm 2% positive
it's, you
that
know
it's
what?
Awful.
It's got Chris Farley in a really interesting role where he's kind of normal.
Huh.
He does. It's not his usual like insanity, you know.
Okay.
What else do we got?
It's Pat.
I saw that.
Jesus! How did you? Oh,
this is the era I was watching Saturday Night Live.
I know, but even I mean, I wasn't gonna go see.
I don't think I went and saw It's Pat. I mean, I think I rented it.
All right, all right.
I saw Stuart Saves His Family.
Well, that's it. Superstar.
No.
Okay.
I think they showed a lot of these on HBO, which I had at the time.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
But of all of those, the best are Wayne's World and Blues Brothers.
Sure.
And Wayne's World 2 is actually, I think,
yeah, that's
really
a good movie. Good, solid movie.
I think, so the other category, let me see if I can guess where you're going with this, would be stuff like Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
Or...
most of Adam Sandler's early stuff.
Happy Gilmore,
Billy Madison.
Right. You know, well, I wonder. Yeah, I guess you could see you can see those characters or hints at those characters in their Saturday Night Live performances, right?
Right.
So you had like, you know, with Billy Madison, Billy Madison, Sandler was doing his like, You know, his weird voice, right? Yeah. Which he did all the time on his Saturday Night Live. Yeah. So he sort of turned that into a movie with Tommy. You know what's great about, what I think was great about Tommy Boy is you found this great dynamic between Chris Farley and David Spade. And I don't know that they ever really got to explore that all that much on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
You had skits where they'd be in there together. And in fact, the Matt Foley skit has an incredible...
That's the one where David Spade starts cracking up, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is another thing that we can talk about.
Oh my God. Flexed his finger at me.
I have a real problem.
Apparently a
very real issue.
Very sensitive
theory
nerve.
Number three. should I just jump into theory
number
three? Sure, go ahead. Okay.
Theory number three.
And I place most of the blame on Jimmy Fallon for this.
Okay.
And I like Jimmy Fallon. I like, especially now.
He was on Saturday Night Live.
I think he's really found his spot with his late night TV show.
But you have a beef with him from Saturday Night Live.
I have beef with him. And I love you, Jimmy, but here's the problem.
But you have to die.
So, and this is purely anecdotal. I have no evidence to back this up. Again, all my theories are, there are no facts.
Okay.
Assumptions. Only
2% positive.
So before Jimmy Fallon, you would have occasional moments in Saturday Night Live where the cast members just could not contain themselves, right?
Uh-huh.
They themselves thought it was so funny that they would lose composure.
Yeah.
And they would try to hide it. They would try to, you know, play it off. So for instance, in that Matt Foley skit, David Spade and Christina Applegate, who's the...
Right, she's the sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are both, they like, it is so funny what Chris Farley's doing that they have to turn away from the camera.
Yeah, he like puts his hand up to, so that he can't see Chris Farley. Yeah, yeah.
And it's hilarious. And that adds to the hilarity of that particular skit because it's already funny. And then it's so funny that they can't take it, you know? But they eventually kind of collect themselves.
Yeah, and they go back to character.
Now, when you get to Jimmy Fallon, you know. He'll crack up at in a skit. And the first time, it's like, ha, look at that. It's so funny. He couldn't contain himself. But it's like every single time he's in a skit or Horatio Sands is in a skit, these guys are, they can't contain themselves.
Huh.
And, like, I'm not saying, yeah, it is funny. Like, I get it. You're in a skit and it's funny and it's hard to, you know, not laugh, but that's your job.
Right.
You know, and like to me, it gets really old really fast.
Hmm.
And because it becomes less about like doing comedy and more about, you know, laughing at yourself. And to me,
it's much funnier when they take themselves seriously, even in spite of.
Yeah. Or when they're, but then they're, when they're doing their job as comedians.
Yeah.
Like your job as the comedian is to present the comedy,
yeah,
not laugh, and that makes us laugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're breaking down the fourth wall a little too much.
And so I feel like since then, Saturday Night Live has had a trend of much more often the cast members sort of losing it,
breaking character, yeah,
and laughing at themselves. And I just think that is an example of an inability to. Be on Saturday Night Live. I don't know. to do sketch comedy.
Okay. Yeah.
Now when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy king. How'd you get so funky? Did you do the monkey?
Favorite skits.
Favorite skits.
I feel like we have to go there.
Yeah,
we have to go there.
Well, I'll talk about one that Ashley and I just watched really recently because she was making dinner and she had broccoli.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And she's sitting
chopping broccoli.
And she's going, you know what I do every time I'm making broccoli? No. I was like, I know exactly what you do. And then we had to watch it. And that is such a good skit. And what I think, obviously, Dana Carvey is is sure the prime reason it's funny. But what makes it even better is Phil Hartman, because he's doing the skit. If you haven't seen it, Dana Carvey is like this rehabbed musician. He's coming back to the studio, and they're like, "Have you been working on new music?" And Phil Hartman and Sigourney Weaver are like studio executives or whatever.
Right.
They're like, "So you got the new album? Checking what's going on?" And he's like, Yeah. He's British. And I don't have a demo, but I could play some for you now." And so he sits down and he plays. It's clear that he's making it up on the spot. And the song that he does is Chopping Broccoli. And while he's playing it, it sort of pans over to Sigourney Weaver. She has this sort of puzzled look on her face. Mm-hmm. And then it pans up to Phil Hartman, and he's like, the look on his face is like, "This is so good." He has this look of just like he's really feeling it, you know. It's excellent. I think that makes that whole skit is his the look on his face,
his reaction.
Yeah. What's your? You give me one of yours, because I got one ready to go.
All right. This longtime favorite, Jane Curtin and Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Not doing the point counterpoint, okay. But when they would do the consumer advisory skit.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen this.
So she's like this. She's almost like Tipper Gore, I guess, as she's supposed to be. And she's like, you know, warning the public about these dangers.
Yeah.
And she brings on a representative from the offending corporation.
Yes! I know exactly what you're talking about.
So he's like, the first one, I think, was...
The Halloween costumes?
I think the Christmas one might have been first. I don't know. But yeah.
He's playing like this shyster guy,
right? He's like Vince Mainway of Mainway Toys. And
she's
like...
He's got glasses on. Yeah. He's like chewing gum.
Yeah, And so she says, first toy, this is called Johnny Human Torch, you know? that was the costume. This is a Halloween costume. Johnny Human Torch. Mr. Mainway, this is nothing more than a bag of oily rags and a lighter. And, of course, he's all, like, defensive. He's like, yeah, you know, that's a bag of rags, you know? That's great. It's very safe. The bag-o line is very popular.
Isn't there one of the toys where it's like a bag of razor blades?
What was that one?
I'm pretty sure that was
there. Probably was. Yeah, I remember the toy Johnny Switchblade. He's got like these like protruding knives, and
Dan Aykroyd was amazing.
Yeah,
so one of my favorite skits by him was the Bass-O-Matic 76.
Oh yes,
and it's a blender.
Bass-O-Matic.
And the conceit is that you're having trouble, but like, what do you do with all this bass that you have? And like, the Bass-O-Matic 76 can prepare bass in many different ways, but all it does is blends it.
It's a blender, yeah.
And he does a demonstration. He goes, "All you have to do is take a bass. That's the whole bass. Place it in the Super Bass-O-Matic 76." And just watch it turn. And like, you know, he blends up. He literally takes a fish and puts it in there, blends it up. And then after it's done, he's like, "You've got a great drink." And he like pours it into this cup. It's disgusting. And then it cuts to Lorraine Newman, and she takes a swig of it. She goes, "Wow, that's great bass." It's so he played those like sort of shyster characters so good.
He did very
He also did
"Hi, I'm Mel from Mel's Char Palace, where you find your own cow, you cut your own steak."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. Doesn't he like hit a cow in that or something?
He gets like a chainsaw or something.
Yeah.
Or Gilda Radner does. She pulls out a chainsaw.
Oh, yes. He did Fred Garvin, male prostitute.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're spending the night with Fred Garvin, male prostitute. He's so good.
Those early years, I loved the. There were a lot of like recurring ones that I loved. I loved Gilda Radner doing Rosanna Dana.
Yeah,
that was like my mom's favorite.
She did the little girl in her room.
Yes, in the chair.
Yeah,
whatever.
No,
that was Lily Tomlin. The little girl in the room
where she was running around.
And, yeah,
going insane. And I'm like, did they just say Gilda like just do whatever.
Go crazy,
go in there and just be this character? And I feel like.
Doug and Wendy Weiner.
What's her fit? Dog and Wendy Weiner.
I'm amazed that never got made into a movie.
That's Joe Piscopo, that's the kind of thing
that could have been. Was it? Maybe.
I don't remember him. I feel like he's Joe wait.
Wasn't Bill Murray in that skit?
Maybe. You made me remember something else. Well, go on.
Okay, well, think about that. Another great classic skit, one-off, and it doesn't really last very long, but for like the first 30 seconds, it's the funniest thing ever. And it's when it was like a Weekend Update, and Chevy Chase, I think, was the host, and he's like, you know, and now a service for our hearing impaired listeners, Garrett Morris from the Institute of, you know... hearing impaired will provide additional hearing assistance.
Our top story tonight.
He like cups his hands around, just
yells. So great. Another good one is, and this is Jim Belushi of all people, and this was like a film thing. And it's and you know what? In fact, so that era, they did a lot of these little films. Where it wasn't live, it was a filmed piece that they played. He was the chess coach. Did you see this?
No, I don't remember this.
They're in a basketball court, right? Mm-hmm. And there's two dudes out in the middle playing chess, and Jim Belushi's pacing back and forth on the sidelines. He's got a clipboard. Uh-huh. He's wearing a tie, you know, and he's like looking at him, and eventually he goes pawn to rook four. no. he runs over to a guy, get up, and he kicks the chair, sit down. It's so great.
That's awesome.
And that around that same time they had the synchronized swimming.
Oh yeah, yeah. Martin
men.
Short and
doubles.
So
Martin Short and Harry Shearer.
Oh okay, that's what it is.
Or wait. Yes, and then also Christopher Guest is like the interviewer, or the coach.
Oh, yeah.
And he's they're sitting there practicing, and they're pointing at each other, and they're going, and you're just saying, hey. they start pointing, he goes, no, you're not mad at him. No, you're just saying, hey, you. I know you. And Martin Short's like, I'm not that strong a swimmer.
We didn't even talk about like really famous guests.
Oh, but yeah.
The Christopher Walken did a ton of great skits as a guest host.
Some of the best guest hosts.
Christopher
Walken.
He's fantastic. Yep. I was going to say another skit particular to him. There's the psychic, the trivial psychic. Where the guy vaguely touches his hand and he's like, yeah. You're going to be carrying papers. You're going to get a paper cut. It's going to hurt real bad. Yeah. He's all like, you know, there's still time. Yeah. But my favorite is when he's the census guy. Tim Meadows, I think, is the census taker. And he comes to his apartment door, Christopher Walken's apartment door. And he says... he's like, how many people live here? And he's like, oof, all together? Sure, all together. We just need a count. He's like, well, I would say about 87. He starts giving these absurd answers. It just escalates from there. But
I've never seen that one.
Oh, that's a great one. I love it.
Tom Hanks is a really great host on the show.
Yeah.
And there's one of the best moments that he had, and he wasn't hosting. This was... right around the time that Castaway came out.
Okay.
And they were doing Weekend Update, and Tina Fey and Jimmy Fallon. And they go, and now we have a special report by a guest, you know, anchor or whatever, Wilson the volleyball. Volleyball. And it pans over and it's Wilson, like a puppet. He starts talking and he's like, I think he's like really mad about something, and he's yelling and stuff. And out of nowhere, Tom Hanks walks onto the set, picks up the ball, like sort of points at it like, you know, you've been bad, and walks off. Doesn't say a word. And there was no mention of him being on the show.
Acknowledging that he was there.
And that's all he did. It was so great. It was such an incredible moment.
That's classic.
I think that, you know, Justin Timberlake is a really great host.
He's fantastic, yeah. I would say the strongest guest host of the last
times.
Most recent era.
I always loved the commercials.
Yes, the really so great commercials. Best stuff they that
did
they
some
do.
Incredible stuff.
The
with
Change
that.
Bank.
Yeah, if you come to us with a dollar, we're not just going to give you four quarters. We're going to give you two quarters and three nickels.
And three nickels.
That's what we do.
The Super Happy Fun Ball.
Yeah.
Do not poke. Do not Super taunt happy.
Yeah. Fun Ball.
Or Big Red.
Big Red.
The it's just a Viking that spins.
He just
and
spins,
shoots blood.
Shoots blood. Adobe, the car made
yes,
of clay.
Yes. Yes.
That was great.
Jiffy Pop airbags.
Yeah.
Oh man.
The love seat, the toilet for two.
Oh my god. Yes.
It's great. What was it called? Was it something express where they like the tagline was if you need it there today, call the other guys. If you need it there yesterday, call us.
That vaguely.
And they would fake
right.
Make it look like your
it
package had been lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like they would put like international
yes.
stickers on it.
I remember that. There was one and I think this is Steve Martin where it was penis cream. And they were like the whole idea was no one will know it's penis cream because we put in big red letters not penis cream on the on the package. Oh man. Oh. What was it about those skits that are so funny, you know? There's one there's some that are just like outlandish moments. Like the one where I think it's Dana Carvey supposed to be a Olympic bench presser.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he pulls his arms off.
Yeah.
From the Russian team. It's all steroid Olympics.
What
or
makes
whatever.
It so great is that the reaction from the commentators, like, "Oh no,
oh that's gonna hurt."
Gosh, yeah, he just went too hard there.
Yeah.
And there's a similar one where Chris Farley is supposed to be a figure skater. And he goes out onto the ice and they're like, all right, he's starting his performance and immediately falls over and like clearly can't skate at all. And the whole time the commentator's like, okay, he's back up. Oh, it's just repeatedly them groaning as he keeps falling. It's really good.
Oh, I'll have to check that one out.
Where do we sit? With Saturday Night Live.
I'm glad it's around. I like to rag on it a lot and say
so
how
I.
it's not good anymore, but I'm glad it's there. Because every once in a while there is that great skit that
yeah.
comes out of nowhere.
I don't think it's good anymore. But you're right. It still has potential. And I think maybe this is always in like hindsight, of course everything looks like it was great.
Sure.
We only remember the great stuff.
Right. There were some probably pretty horrible
oh, yeah.
moments in those
Joe
great
Piscopo.
Seasons. Yeah. Yeah. So
poor,
20 years from
Joe
now,
Piscopo.
People might look back and be like, this is great. At least it wasn't
yeah.
Piscopo.
So I agree with you. I am glad it's around.
Yeah.
But I don't watch it.
Okay. So then we don't need it in the archive.
No, let's put it in.
Okay.